times, and I'll always love him, and he always gives me something, but I'm convinced that Esther probably writes his outlines, but that's okay, brother. We understand.
And he always looks down on me.
The women was here yesterday working on flowers, and some guy comes and says, is Brother Billy having a woman preach this week? I was putting gas in the car the other day, and some guy from Chicago got a conversation with me, and he said, "What's your name?" I said, "Billy Miller." He said, "That was my grandmother's name." And said she about went to prison because she couldn't convince him that she wasn't a man.
All right, after an introduction like that, who knows?
Where do you go from there?
I actually had on two different occasions, two different women come. They saw the sign and they came to hear a woman preach. And they was disappointed on two occasions. Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. I felt the spirit of the Lord. If you enjoyed all this singing, say amen.
Amen.
The preacher was talking about Esther, and I realized a long time ago that's what opened my doors, is they wanted her. I called a preacher in Florida and told him that she wouldn't be able to come, and they got real silent. I got down there and they said, "Preacher, we heard that your wife wasn't coming, so we had a vote on whether to have the meeting or not, but said just to encourage you, you won by one vote." So, but it is good to be here. Praise the Lord for the opportunity, as has been sung, to meet and to worship Him. Across the country, of course, this matter of COVID has cut back as far as attendance in a lot of places. But I've often said, as I look over our congregation here this morning, I think if my figures are right, my calculations, there's just exactly enough here to worship.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Right.
And that's what we come to do. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 15. This week I want to pull some phrases, words out of this parable that we are all familiar with. And I wanted to speak to us young and old alike. A lot of times we look at this parable as if it applies to a young man or a young woman. But this parable applies to all of our hearts in all ages. And we're going to emphasize that beginning this morning. Look, if you will, in verse number 14. And there we'll see our first phrase that we're going to pull out of this text. I noticed that y'all are not too hyped up on social distancing. Me and my wife, we started out, I thought they meant to social distance everywhere, so we started out in the home, social distancing. And before it's over with, we wore out three masks. I said, "Man, these things are expensive, we're going to have to quit it." So, but if I don't shake hands with you, it's not that I'm mad at you or it's just, I don't know if you, I do what everybody else wants to do. So if you want to shake hands, you come like this. If you want to hug necks, just come like this. We'll just do whatever you want to do. I was pondering this thing of this COVID, and I don't know, I guess the church is more sanitized now than it's ever been. I don't know about sanctified, but it's sanitized. But you know, I'm fearful that what the world has got us in the mind frame is to try to convince us that we need to do everything we can do to hold on to what the Lord's been asking us to give to Him.
Right.
And that is our life.
Amen.
That is our life. And if you've given your life to Him, no man can take it.
Amen.
No man can take it. And that's not to say we shouldn't be wise, but we don't need to be fearing.
Right.
We need to be believing the Lord.
Amen.
And so that's how I feel about it anyway.
Right.
But let's look at it here in Luke chapter number. Matter of fact, did you know COVID's not the worst thing in the world? I heard about a fellow that they served him papers, and he looked at them and said, he thought it said tested positive for COVID-19. They took him to jail. And he said, will you take me to jail if I've tested positive for COVID-19? They said, you didn't test positive for COVID-19. You tested positive for cocaine on the 19th. Well, I think that'd even be worse, don't you? All right, we're going to look into this text and throughout the week, the Lord willing. And, you know, in the Word of God, a lot of times it's what is not seen, if you can see it, that reveals as much as what is seen.
Amen.
And what is not said, if you can hear it, will tell you as much as is what's said. And so I want us to look into this text and see some things that you really have to look for to see them, but they reveal so much. Verse 14, I want to use this phrase, the Bible said, and when he had spent all. I want to emphasize this matter of the prodigal son spending all. And of course, we understand that all is all that he had, and all is all that you have and I have, and obviously it is possible to spend all.
Right.
And when we're talking about spending all, we're not talking about just spending his money. We're talking about he spent his mind, he spent his health, he spent his time, he spent his wealth, he spent every dime. He literally spent it all. Now let's read the text. We'll read down through verse number 21 for the sake of some that may not be familiar with it and emphasize this matter of spending all. The Bible said, and he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country. There wasted his substance with riotous living. And when, here's our text, he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, sent him into the fields to feed swine. He would fain have filled his belly with the husks which the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. When he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's has bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I'll arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. He arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, ran, fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, let us eat and be merry. I'm thinking about this matter again of the prodigal son and that emphasis right there of the possibility of you and I in this lifetime spending all. My first thought would be this. I see in this text that the prodigal son spent all, but he really had nothing. The Bible said the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Again, Paul said, you're not your own, but you are bought with a price. Everything that this boy takes into the far country, he takes as a result of his connections to the family, his connections to the father. He brings his inheritance with him. While he's in that far country, he spends so loosely and he throws it to the wind. He takes it so lightly, easy come and easy go. But the reason why he does so is because really he had nothing of his own. So it is with you and I. We come into this world with nothing. And I have news for all of us. We will leave this world with nothing. But the important thing is what we do with what we've got while we are here. What has been invested in us and what has been given to us. Here it is that the brother spends. He spends so much that was not his to begin with. He spends, of course, his belongings. He spends his very body. He spends his very breath. He spends it all, but he had nothing. Let us be grateful for that which has been invested in us. Let us thank the Lord for that what he has given us, whether it be in talents and in gifts and in time and in energy, whatever it is. Let us realize and recognize that it is a gift to us. That we're not to take and we are to waste it as the prodigal son did. We are not to throw it away. He spent it all. Can you see that? He spent it all. He spent it all. Oh, let us ponder what has been given to us through a mother or through a father. Or let us ponder and think of what has been handed down to us as far as a nation is concerned. All of these things, these liberties and freedoms that we enjoy, were here when we got here. They were given to us. Let us be thankful for everything that has been invested in us on a spiritual level. Thank God for a church that we can come and worship in. Thank God for a man of God that can exhort us, as he just did, of the truth that is in spirit and truth as far as worship is concerned. Thank God for those who have taught us the Word of God, how we need to realize that all of this has been given to us, of which we would have none of it had it not been so. He spent all, understand that, he spent all. We can spend, but we really, if you look at the bottom line, we didn't have nothing to begin with. He spent all. Can you see that? He spent all, but he had nothing. The second thing that I would emphasize in verse 13, the latter part, is this truth. He spent all on nothing. Oh, my goodness. I don't know how much he had to spend, but he came with the father's living. You notice that. Two times it speaks of this belonging. Even the elder brother said, he took your living into the far country. He drew off the mighty resources of his father and ventured into the far country and spent it all on nothing. When it was all said and done, and we pick up with him in verse 17 at the hog pen, there is nothing that he possesses at all. He doesn't possess anything. There's nothing he can look to and say, you know, I'm so glad that I bought that. I'm so glad that I purchased that. I'm so glad that I spent on that. I don't know what I would do if I hadn't have got that. Nothing at all can he be grateful that he has expended of what he has had, because he spent all on nothing.
Right.
Solomon talked about it in Ecclesiastes when he talked about the vain things, or vanity of vanities. The word vanity means blowing bubbles. Have you ever seen these? They stick it in the solution and we've all done it, and it's bubbles. And they gleam and glare and they look so good. But really, there's nothing in them. Oh, if you could sell them $1 a bubble, we could make bunches of money. And if I could do that and bring a bunch of them and sell them to you this morning, and you could buy 100 of them, but oh, each one, when you reached out to grab it, you would find out you just purchased nothing. You wasted your money on nothing. And I'm going to tell you something. God has given us so much to produce with, so much to invest with, so much to plant with, so that when we come down to the end, we won't have to look and see that we've taken everything and produced nothing, invested in nothing. He spent all he spent. It is possible to take all of your age, all of your time, all of your money, all of your breath, all of your energy, all of who you are, and come up with nothing.
Right.
I have a son that has 5 children. And we were talking one day, and he said, "Dad, I just didn't realize how much it costs to feed 5 children. And I said to him, "Son, well, you should have been smarter. Maybe you had 2 children. And he turned with me, just a quiver in his voice and a tear in his, he said, "But Dad, they're worth every penny."
Amen.
Oh, to come down to the end and look at something and say, "Oh, I'm going to tell you, I may be leaving this world, but I'm going to tell you, I have purchased some things. I have invested in some things. I put stock into some things that were worth living for."
Amen.
Oh, boy. Isn't the gospel worth living for? Jesus worth living for? Spreading the truth and sounding the trumpet, as has been said and sung here today. Isn't that worth living for? He spent all, but he had nothing. He spent all on nothing. We got a word that I've invented for my grandchildren. I invent words for things that come up in conversations, and oftentimes they'll come. And on this one occasion, one of my granddaughter bought one of these little clear bottles that you pour water in it, and then it's supposed to do something to the water, and you drink it, and it's better for you. which that hadn't been that long ago, and I promise you, she doesn't know where it is now. I invented a word for those things that we just have to have that really don't mean anything. I call them whirly-derbs. Don't ask where it comes, it's just a whirly-derb. Yeah, I got to have that. I'm going to get that. You know what I want then? And you, when you're walking out, and you think, "Why did I buy that?" It's a whirly-derb. And we all buy, haven't we? I mean, you don't have to be a certain age to buy a whirly-derb. You why I'm saying amen to that. For a whirly-derb. But I'm going to tell you something. We don't want to live our lives and come down to the end and realize we've invested everything in whirly-derbs and in bubbles and in vanity. And we have nothing to show for all we had. We had nothing to show for all we had. He spent all, but he had nothing. He spent all on nothing. Can you see that? Though it's not said, it is there. You can see this. Where's he? What's he got? He's got all the... Hey, he divided unto... He gave him a bunch, but he don't have a bunch at the end. Nothing worthy of the mention. The third thing I would say to you, he's spent all, but he had nothing. He spent all on nothing. But as I look through this text, I tried to find something that possibly this prodigal son may have given to. Maybe a children's home, or maybe for a poor family, or maybe for a sick person, maybe for the sake of the gospel, or maybe for a missionary. The Bible said he spent all. Look at it. Now, we've already emphasized it. He spent all on nothing. He wasted his substance on riotous living, and when he had spent all. What I see in there, it's not really what's said, but it has to be. And that is, obviously, he spent all, but he gave nothing. How terrible it is to have all and have so much and give so little. The main thing in life is not what you possess or how much you possess or what you've got or what you have when you leave this world. It's what you have given. The promises of the Bible are not on what is spent, but on what is given. Cast your bread upon the water. After many days, it will return unto you. Give, and it shall be given to you. Press down and running over, shall men give into your bosom. I think of another son who left his home to go into a far country. You know who he was? Jesus. He didn't come to spend. He came to give, and he gave it all. Let us tally everything up, and let us not try to come down to the bottom and find out how much we saved and how much we kept or even how much we spent, but how much of our time have we given in prayer or in witness or in worship or in money for whatever the cause may be. What have we given?
Amen.
He spent all, but not, he gave nothing. No causes, nothing to improve any situation, no burden for the need at hand. The Bible said, work with your own hands. Labor, not that you might keep it, but that you might have wherewithal to give to those who are in need. Our greatest purpose in this life, and the reason why God has made you who you are and given you the abilities to do what you can do and invested so much of heaven in you spiritually and physically, is not so when they close the lid on you that you have kept it all, but that somehow you have invested it. And the more you have invested, the more that you have blessed others and glorified the kingdom of God. Oh, he spent all, but he didn't have nothing. It was given to him. He spent all on nothing. He spent all, and he gave nothing.
Right.
Spent all, and he gave nothing. Can you see that in there?
Yes.
Can you see that in there? I can find no place where he's invested. Said he spent all.
Right.
He spent all on righteous living, which means he didn't spend a dime on any kind of cause that would help anybody else. He spent all. But then can I say to you what I see in the text? If you'll look down in verse number 18 and 19, he said, I'll arise, go to my father, and I'll say, I've sinned against heaven before thee. But look in verse 19. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Look back in verse 16. The Bible said, and no man, the latter part, gave unto him. He spent all, but he had nothing. He spent all on nothing. He spent all and he gave nothing. But I notice here that he spent all, listen to this, and became nothing.
Amen.
To have so much and become so little. Now, I'm not judging him and saying he is nothing. Don't misunderstand me. I'm going by his own words.
Right.
It is possible to come down to the point that when you look in the mirror, you realize that your life has meant nothing for anybody, not even to aid yourself. Though you've had so much as far as potential is concerned to invest and help and do for others. He comes out, he says that about himself. I would never say that about him. He says, Father, I'm not even worthy to be a son. Make me as one of the hired servants. I don't know how much he was worth when he went into the far country. But honey, I know that there was a day in his own sight he became worthless. He could see no value even in himself, but yet he had so much to make so much, and he becomes so nothing. Oh, he spent all, and he became nothing. Now that was in his own sight. But what about the citizens of that country? The Bible said no man gave unto him. Which meant when they looked at him, they said, you're not worthy of investment.
Right.
I place no stock in you.
Right.
No man gave to him because they didn't see anything worth. They looked at him and said, you're worthless. We're not going to give of our substance to you. All we got to do in this day and hour, we talk about those homeless people, we talk about those drug addicts, and the world has looked at them, and I'm going to tell you, just come to the place. And really, they're in our own families, there are people who become so low that they become worthless to themselves that we wonder, what can we do even to help them? He has become a zero to himself and to the world that he is in. And I tell you, somebody else he's a zero to. That's his elder brother. He's a minus to him. He's nothing to the elder brother. But hey, I got good news for you. If you're here this morning, you may be a zero to yourself. You may be a zero to this world. You may be a zero to somebody in the church. But you'll never become worth nothing giving to your heavenly Father. He will always see value in forgiving you, restoring you, and paying the price for your sin. Aren't you glad we got a heavenly Father that looked at us in our worst condition and, thank God, accepted us into the family when we were of no value whatsoever to anybody?
Amen.
I like that, don't you? Can you see that?
Amen.
Huh? It's seeing what you can't see and hearing what you can't hear. I say to you, he spent all, but he didn't have anything. He spent all on nothing. He spent all here and he becomes nothing. Nothing. Here's the thought as I come down to the end that really captivated me one time. I had never given a lot of thought to the needs of the far country. I'd always seen them in the negative. And that's the way we feel about this world. But can I say to you that if the far country had ever had any hope at all, it would have had to been in this boy. The Bible said that the Father gave to him of his living. He took into the far country the very being of the Father.
Right.
And if that country ever had any hope, it would have had been in this boy. There were a lot of people that went into the far country, but nobody ever went into the far country with as much as this boy did and left as little. Honey, don't worry about what's here in this old world. We ain't here to fix and straighten this old world up. But God has given us a gospel. He has given us a truth. He has given us of the Holy Ghost. He's given us of the kingdom of heaven. And the only hope of this world is me and you that know something about another world. He's the only boy there that knows about a father, that knows about another country, that knows about a God that he talked about, that forgives sin that he prayed to. He's the only one that knows about a sacrifice. He's the only one that knows that. Just think if he'd have took that into the far country. But what I want to say to you, this old boy spent all, but he left nothing. No sign he's ever been there. No influence on anybody's life. No indication at all.
Right.
He spent all, closed the lid on the subject, and he left nothing. We are in this world to leave an implant, an imprint for God.
Amen.
Whether it's in the school, whether it's in the family, whether it's on the job, wherever it is.
Yes.
Hey, we're not here to worry about what's going to happen in the election. We can't control that. Vote and get over it.
Yes.
We're not here to try to straighten this world out and make sure everything's balanced out and everything's fair. We're here because we've got a powerful message. We've got something stronger and more powerful than the atom bomb, the hydrogen bomb, the U.S. Army, or China's military. We've got the power of the gospel, thank God. The power of God that can change a life. He went into that world with the knowledge of another world and said nothing about it. Could have went down and ventured through and said, has there ever been a young man down here that had a wonderful father from another country that had so much and invested in it? We ain't never heard nobody like that. A lot of young men come through here, but ain't nobody ever come through here like that. Had so much. He had all that the Father had invested in him and took it and left no sign. No more. Leave a mark on your children. Hey, grandparents, you ain't over. You got grandyoungins.
Right.
They need a divine mark.
Yes.
They don't need to hear about our aches and pains and that we're old and gray-headed. I tell folks I'm 66, but I can do anything today I could do when I was 16 years old. But now, I was a sorry 16-year-old. Hey, as long as you're in this world, it's because you've got something that God has given you. First of all, He's given you time. He's given you salvation. He's given you the gospel. He's given you a promise of heaven. He's given you truth. He's given you the Holy Ghost. Use that in this old world to make sure when they close the lid on you, you will have left something that is of eternal value. Woo! He spent all. He had nothing. He spent all on nothing. Spent all and gave nothing. Spent all and became nothing. He spent all and he left nothing.
Yes.
I thought about Joseph in Egypt. I've been to Egypt. And while I was down there, they pointed out into that desert and they said right there, and they still holes out there, is where Joseph put all that corn. I'm going to tell you, Joseph was in Egypt. We still know he was there because of what God did through him there. Moses was in Egypt. We still know he was there because of what God. Jesus was in this world, and we certainly know why. He left a mark of salvation in this old world. You're here to make sure you leave behind something of value. Now, when he comes home, get this. When he comes home, he's repentant.
Yes.
And he apologizes on two levels. Have you noticed that in there? He tells heaven, I've sinned against heaven. And then he tells his father, he said, I've sinned against you. But you know, as I pondered that, I thought, you know, there might have ought to been another apology. He might ought to have said to his dad, Dad, I got to go back to the far, not for the same reason, but I got to go back there and tell him I'm sorry.
Yes.
I'm sorry that I spent so much on nothing. I'm sorry I spent so much and gave nothing. I'm sorry I spent so much and became nothing. And I'm sorry that I spent so much and left nothing. I want to come back and I want to tell you what I should have told you when I was here. I want to mean something to you. Won't leave behind something.
Amen.
Elderly preacher just passed away. Heard him preach years ago. Had a little topical sermon because he had about 20 points to it. I just mentioned three. And here's what he preached on, some things I want to leave behind. I thought about that as I was looking at this. Some things I'd like to leave behind. He said, well, one thing I'd like to leave behind is a good influence or testimony for Jesus. Boy, that ought to be up there high on the list, shouldn't it? Huh? That'd be better than leave behind money and all that other stuff. Second thing he liked, it intrigued me. He said, I want to leave behind a worn-out Bible. Boy, ain't that something. Leave behind a worn-out Bible. That means you didn't just carry it to church, you read it.
Yeah.
And let it operate in your life. Then the third, another thing he said, it's the only one I want, last one. He said, and I like this, boy. He said, I want to leave behind a happy devil. I thought, why in the world would you want to make the devil happy? He said, well, I don't want the devil sad that I've left this old world. I want to have been a thorn in his side, made him mad, and witnessed one another. I brought some light to the far country, and he's glad I'm gone. I hope when I die, the devil calls all his imps together, and they throw a party. Because they're happy that you're gone. Oh, my goodness. If we were to pass today, what kind of influence have we left? What kind of mark, indentation on the lives of others? Now, he spent all, had nothing, on nothing, gave nothing, became nothing, and left nothing. Here's why I want to close it. How can we take all that has been given to us and not waste it and throw it away? How can we keep from, as the prodigal son did, spending all? There's only one way. Never forget what's been spent on you.
Amen.
Never forget what's been invested in you.
Yes.
Never forget what it's cost to others for you to be who you are and where you are. Never forget the time and the energy that has been invested in you. And never forget the sacrifice of God's Son to save you and make you a part. If you're going to keep from spending it all, never forget what's been all. Never forget all that's been spent on you. Because heaven gave all.
Yes, absolutely.
When the Father gave the Son, for you and for me.
Amen.
Don't forget the kisses of that mama when your brow was fevered.
Right.
Don't forget the hard work that bought those clothes and sent you to school.
Right.
Don't forget that food that was put on that table time after time and the money spent to buy those groceries. Don't forget that good warm house or air conditioning. Don't forget being able to turn those lights on. What a blessing it was. Don't forget the gospel that was preached to you and those that have carried it down through the years so you could get it. Don't forget the love that God extended to you through His Son. Don't forget the cross. Don't forget a place of worship. Don't forget. And if you will not forget what has been spent on you, you won't waste it.
Amen.
But you will be thankful.
Right.
Let's stand. Could be this morning we could just take a moment or two and say, thank you, Lord, for what you've spent on me. Thank you, Lord, for a mom and daddy and brother and sister. I'm going to tell you something. You're looking at me at 66 years old, and it'd be impossible to tally up the cost of time and energy and money and everything that has brought me to where I am. I don't want to forget that. I don't want to forget that. I want to take it and invest it in the lives of others. Taking my time and making it your time. Taking my money and making it somebody else's money. Taking my heart and giving it away. Not wasting it. While she sings, you just take a moment and ponder on what this matter of spending all means to you.
What will be said of me?